As we turn now our attention to the national scene, and I'll tell you what, have you watched some of the games this past weekend, especially in Texas? You had to be impressed. One of the games went down to the last second. Zach Poff joins us on Christmas Eve. Zach, Merry Christmas to you, and what a finish in Houston, huh?
Dude, you know, there's been a lot of big-time games this year, but you got to go with that as number one high school football game of 2018. You know, the two top teams in Texas playing for a state title, and it comes down to a Hail Mary. And the Hail Mary ended up getting that team the number one spot in the nation, too. So.
North Shore, huh? I mean, that's a long way since some of the outstanding athletes they've had in the past. But I watched that game and saw the end, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was what an amazing thing. And I'll tell you what, those we don't see crowds. I mean, we have – you know how popular our football is, Zach. We don't have – our crowds don't even come close to that. How do they get crowds like that?
Nearly 50,000 people at a high school football game. That's truly remarkable. And, you know, speaking of remarkable, how about the game that sophomore quarterback had, Demetrius Davis, man? He put on, had over 300 yards, because you can tell that Dunkelville defense wanted to limit Zachary Evans, and Davis really stepped up and made some big-time plays for North Shore.
So you had some, in the last couple of weeks, some really, really good football games that kind of dictated who ended up on top. And talk about that and some of the teams that maybe made a push towards the end that are young that may be in the mix next year.
Yeah, I mean, real quick, it came down to Modern Day and North Shore for the number one spot. But really, it was hard to overlook Modern Day's 23-point loss. They had the St. John Bosco back in October.
Yep.
It was just hard to kind of give them the number one spot with a 23-point loss. And at the end of the day, North Shore, yeah, they didn't play the out-of-state competition, but people tend to forget that Texas, when it comes to high school football and high school talent, is right there with any state in the country. So going 16-0 in Texas and winning that state title in the largest classification, it means something. It's not like, you know, they're playing in some small market or small – they're playing in Texas. So they're going to be right back there again. You know, North Shore, obviously – Modern Day's got a bunch of studs, St. John Bosco, and then obviously, you know, Aquinas will be right there, Miami Central, and those teams. And I was impressed with Cardinal Gibbons. I know they're losing some guys, but the sophomore quarterback showed he's ready for the moment, leading them to a state title when Nick Scalzo went down. So that was nice to see also.
Also, though, then now we have the redistricting, which kind of like threw Carroll City into the same region as Booker T and also Cardinal Gibbons now. So, and university school. So that kind of that becomes the SEC. We used to think that the SEC was Carroll City Central, Northwestern, Norland, and that. But now that becomes pretty competitive, and now you have Heritage to get out. They have to beat Northwestern. For Southridge to get out, they have to beat Central. So now what they've done, Zach, and you'll appreciate this, they split the band up, and now from 4 to 6, right through 4, 5, and 6, and then St. Thomas at 7, South Florida is looking pretty good.
Oh, for sure. And, I mean, obviously, you know more about the reclassification and stuff. What do you like it? Are you a big fan of it? It seemed like on Twitter and social media, there were a lot of people that were kind of happy with the reclassifications. I know Miami, you know, Central City not being in the same. Well, that kind of hurts. But outside of that, it looked like there was a lot of good in this, for sure.
Yeah, I think so. And what they did is, and they said, they told the coaches, they told the principals, the athletic directors before they did it, the entire outcome of it is going to be based on enrollment, not, you know, St. Thomas is better, so we'll put them here. Or that it was completely based on enrollment that they did going in. And unlike, I think, the last reclassification where you could go up, you couldn't go down, there was all sales were final. So there was no, you know, you couldn't, there was no grievance. And if you had a grievance, then you would go independent. So, and you don't want to go independent because they don't have a state title and you're going to lose kids and stuff like that. So, yeah, I could see where a lot of people were excited because of the fact that, especially if you were down in South Florida and you had to meet up with one of those teams from that one district all the time. I think they were the happiest to get out. Do they have redistricting in California, or how often did they do that, or reclassification, I should say?
They'll do it for the playoffs sometimes. Like, for example, in the CIF Southern section, they'll have teams move up from Division I to the Open Division. and stuff like that. But usually you'll see the leagues actually stay the same too. So, but yeah. It's definitely, it doesn't happen a ton, but you'll see teams like Oaks Christian, who wasn't in open division, moved up this year because they won last year.
Oh, okay. I mean, you know, here it's crazy because this has to be the most movement of any place in the country when it comes to football players going from one school to the next. I know it's rampant a lot of places, but here I think they kind of set standards. I think they went over the 300-400 mark in just two counties last year. So it's kind of tough to keep, the pulse of everything. But you look at last year, Carroll City had a lot of kids that weren't there the year before. We just talked to one of them, Daniel Richardson, who ended up as Dade County's leading passer of all time, which was what he
passed for King Cato, right?
Yeah, which is not terrible. So, I mean, but you look at that, and certainly now everybody's looking ahead to next year. Some of the matchups, we hear that a couple of teams may be heading south next year. Powers from Georgia, I believe, and one from Virginia. They may be coming down here to play. You hear, what do you hear as far as any national matchups like Gorman, Mater Dei, any of those schools? Are there going to be any national matchups?
I can't name schools specifically right now because, it's still in the talks and everything. But all I'm going to say is get your popcorn ready. There's going to be a bunch of big-time national games to start the year next year and, all the way in August and September until conference play starts. It looks like there's going to be a lot of enticing out-of-state matchups going on that feature teams that, finish the year ranked in the top 10 and the top 25. So, it's going to be fun for sure. Also, I want to say one thing, man. What a year Lakeland had, too, man, with Bill Castle.
Yes.
DeMarcus Bowman, that kid's absolute stud.
Beast.
He's
going to
sure be featured on our junior All-American squad. I mean, he had over 2,000 yards this year. Yeah. Had a big game against Aquinas.
Huge
game. You got
game.
Keon Zipperer, bunch of studs. So just had to give a shout-out to Lakeland,
too,
for beating Aquinas and pretty handily too.
We were at the game, and I'll tell you, DeMarcus Bowman is at a different level. And we have really, really good backs. I mean, in South Florida, I mean, there's the Parrish kid from Columbus, but this kid, this is one of those kids. If he petitioned to go into college now, no one would lose any sleep on the roster because he's one of those big time kids, and certainly the program has turned around there. They're linemen, and back in the day, Zach, St. Thomas and Lakeland were always knocking heads. I mean, back 10, 12 years ago. So what this has done is rekindled, no longer St. Thomas just going to go to state 159-0. So this is what state championship football, like you were talking about, North Shore the other night, winning in that dramatic fashion in the last second to win the national title. See, that's what's missing from a lot of the Florida high school playoffs. I think the average margin this year was like 24 points of all the 8 games played. Usually they're kind of runaways. Even Northwestern, a team that lost 5 games, to come back and win the state in the way they did against Armwood and limited them to 4 first downs and 31 total offensive yards. I mean, that's the wave of the future. And certainly, like you said, it's going to be an exciting 2019. When you come out with your initial list and your spring list, now when does the final list drop?
It's already final, man. We dropped it on Sunday.
Okay.
Official, man. North Shore's the 28 national champs, man. We went with the 16-0 undefeated team, and I got a little heat for it because they don't play technically an out-of-state national schedule.
Oh, well.
But people need to realize playing against Texas teams isn't, just playing a bunch of cookies, and they didn't lose by 23 points either. So
good stuff. Zach, what's going on at the household tomorrow for the holiday?
Just drove down to SoCal last night. So with the fam, man, she's got the spaghetti brewing tonight. Gonna get with the family tomorrow, open presents, and watch some NBA basketball, man. Looking forward to LeBron versus the Dubs. So.
Good stuff, man. Hey, we're watching your Dodgers make those moves.
Hey, Bryce Harper.
I see that.
For Christmas, huh?
Yep. Hey, good stuff. Merry Christmas to your family, to you. Have a happy one, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too, man. Appreciate you, Larry.
Good stuff. Zach Poff.